Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I am your host, Isaac Weisop. Today we start a two-part journey into a very controversial topic, the Russian dark arts. We're going to dive into this controversial territory of geopolitics, a topic I don't frequent, with a discussion focused more on something I do frequent. That's the occult beliefs of the architects of our global events and drama, specifically Russia and Vladimir Putin, and a enigmatic man named Alexander Dugin. He's often referred to as Putin's Rasputin, if that tells you anything about the guy, right? We'll talk about the occult belief system called traditionalism. We've talked about it many times in the past. And here we are. Russia's authoritarian system of state propaganda. How the truthers are being manipulated. Oh yeah, that'll be part two. Part two is going to be way juicier than part one, but part one's going to be great too. Great reset, fake news, symbolism of the chaos, magic, with the Eurasian party, double-headed eagles of Freemasonry, parallels to the Jan 6 events, and the inspiration behind all of this, which of course, as always, the Dark Lord Satan. This might be one of the most controversial shows I've ever done when we consider that I will be contradicting a lot of what you hear from the truther movement, we'll say. Because, you know, I keep abreast of what my fellow truther folks are saying. And it's really bizarre to me that a lot of them appear to be co-opting the Russian narrative in some ways. And I get it. I get it because they say, they're like, well, you know, everything the mainstream media says in America is a lie. Everything they say is a lie. Therefore, when they say Ukraine good, Russia bad, it's actually Russia good, Ukraine bad. And I don't believe it. I deny that wholeheartedly. The media doesn't always get it wrong. That's why I said, you know what? I told you this is a very controversial show. So if you're offended easily, if you're triggered easily, don't listen to these two shows. We're going to drop some scary dark arts truth bombs. And since no one else seems to be saying, I'm not saying no one else. I mean, I act like I have a real close finger on the pulse. It seems like, in general, in passing, that a lot of the truth movement isn't talking about this stuff the way I've been thinking about it. And I'll go through why that is. This part one will lay together how all these pieces are coming together for this new global, new world order. And I've said this before, there's a massive psyop pushing for this alt-right eternal white boy summer, the dystopian Handmaid's Tale. I think it's true. And for what it's worth, this is just my ideas, just my opinion, just a theory. I mean, a very well-supported theory, as I will show you. And, of course, it's all based on my worldview, which could be wrong, right? I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again, and that's all right. We're going to talk about it all. And if you're open-minded and you really want to hear some theories, some real truther-isms, then you'll stick around. If you're easily triggered, I'll hit you on the next show. let's talk about now, and I'm doing such a preamble on this because I realize this is a very sensitive, controversial topic in the truther world. So I do want to talk about my worldview, right? Because I'm a Christian, not a good one. I've never professed to be a good one, nor do I want people to look to me as a way of living as a Christian because I do not do a good job at that. I try to embrace the philosophy of just trying to love other people, let people have freedom to live their lives, let adults do what they want to do as long as they're not hurting anyone else. And sometimes that clashes with Christian dogma, right? But I'm also a military vet, right, for the U.S. military, which makes me susceptible to some level of brainwashing, right? You go through basic training, they strip you down to the basic, and then they rebuild it. So in some ways, you do get a level, a dosage of brainwashing, and that's okay. So sometimes I'm real susceptible to some patriotic bullshit, is what I'm trying to tell you, okay? Like when 9/11 happened, right? I was like, oh my God, we got to get these terrorists. But then afterwards, you know, 20 years later, I'm looking at all these crazy things around it. And I thought, man, this is not what it added up to be. This is not what I thought it was. Same with Vietnam. There's some really shady things that happened. And the real question is, and this I have no answers for, but are there people looking into all these global events and sort of keeping us ignorant enough to be entertained and go to work, and they're really handling the bad guys? Because we can't really know the truth about how scary this world can be. I think that's always a possibility, right? Like, for instance, if the stuff I'm about to tell you today is true, is it possible that we've got intelligence agencies that are worried about these same things? And they say, look, they're going to bring a satanic New World Order and take over America. We can't tell the American public that. They'll be terrified. We need to keep them watching Real Housewives of Salt Lake and going to work. So, you know, keep them a little bit distracted. Like, that's an option, right? That's a possibility. But anyways, one thing I do stand behind is American democracy. Now, a capitalist system that we have in America, good, not great. There's issues with it, but overall, it's a pretty great system. America, it's got issues. Overall, it's a pretty great country, right? And it's my country, yeah? Screw it, man. This is my people here. So when there's a threat to American democracy, that triggers my patriotic brainwashing, all right? But here's the thing. Ultimately, I don't do politics. I don't do geopolitics. I'm not a historian. This is just my take based upon reading a few books. There's no way I could fully grasp and understand the history of Russian and European history and politics, as well as all these occult philosophies that I've been digging into, right? There's a million things going on behind the scenes, is what I'm trying to say, that we're not privy to. A lot of people want to pretend they know it all. But there's a lot of history and there's a lot of people involved with all of this, and this goes way above my level as a guy with internet access, you know what I mean? And politics, the reason I don't talk politics, it's such an earthly affair, it's such a divisive thing, and it's always this fear-based, you know, gang-banging kind of thing, not the fun kind of gang-banging, like the gang warfare, right? You know what I'm saying? And I like to focus more on the spiritual elements, the occult philosophies, the dark stuff sometimes. The bigger questions, why we're here, what the people who practice these occult practices, what they think is the truth to reality. And I say all that to also shout out Professor Ben Teitelbaum. We did a show in 2020, and little did I know, it might be one of the most important shows that I've ever done. We did a show talking about Steve Bannon and the War for Eternity and this occult philosophy called traditionalism, which will show up throughout this two parts, more so in the second part. The second part, we get more into the dark occult fantasies of what's really fueling, I believe, a lot of this stuff going on in the world right now. Now, I want to start out by reading a passage from a book, right? This is a book called The Occult World. It's a big book. Let me open her up. All right, let's see. So if you open it up to page 632, yeah, I told you it was a big book. 632, there is an entry in this. It's more of an encyclopedia. It's called Contemporary Occult War, all right? Now it's like two paragraphs, and I'm sorry, but I got to read both. Given its prevalence on both sides of the Second World War, it is unsurprising that occult warfare beliefs persist into contemporary esotericism as well as popular culture, such as in diverse occult conspiracist speculations concerning the involvement of secret societies, most prominently the Illuminati, in the promotion of terrorism and counterterrorism, exemplified by 9/11 conspiracism in rap music, popular films, widely available on the internet, such as Zeitgeist, and so forth. In the specifically esoteric and or occult Milu, how do you pronounce that? You know what I'm saying. Milu. Anthroposophy retains extensive conspiracist dualism, various interpretations of tradition, including those influenced by the work of Evola. That's Julius Evola, which is a name you'll find often in this traditionalism occult philosophy, continue to attract adherents and have established themselves beyond the strictly far-right and ultra-fascist Milu, although those associations remain persistent within the traditionalist scene. The work of neo-Eurasian neo-traditionalist Alexander Dugin features conspiracism and eschatology and has acquired some influence in Russian political circles. Radical traditionalism in the West orients itself towards cultural conflict and occasionally aligns with the agenda of the new right. And then it goes on to talk about satanic and left-hand path groups. So what are they saying there? They're talking about a far-right occult philosophy, and that is the topic of discussion for these next two shows. And we're going to start with the rational side of this conspiracy theory and slowly delve into the madness that I believe is behind all of this, fueling the whole thing. Spoiler alert, it's Satan. Hello. All right. Just some few ideas let's throw out there first. Russia Times, the RT. They banned RT America recently. But RT is state propaganda, right? It's literally Russia's state-controlled news by the Russian government. And I don't understand why the truthers cozy up to this channel so much. I know that they've been, and I casually follow them the same way, because I heard once a while ago, so Al Jazeera, right? A friend of mine followed them, and I said, why do you listen to Al Jazeera? And he said, well, you got to get a voice outside of our own media and our own government, because you need that sort of outside opinion sometimes just to know if you're being lied to, which is fair. I think that's a fair thing. So I casually followed Al Jazeera and RT. But the confusing thing is that in the conspiracy world, we're very skeptical of the mainstream media. Now, imagine a mainstream media which is run by the voice of the political leaders of your country. Very bizarre. It's government-controlled media. They tell them what they're allowed to say and all that, right? And over in Russia, they have laws against fake news. You can't even talk bad about the government or Putin or any of the political leaders. All of these things are massive red flags. But the ends justify the means to people, right? And I'm not saying that the truther movement is dominated by white supremacist alt-right folks who want Eternal White Boy Summer and Handmaid's Tale dystopia. But you got to consider that. You got to consider that when you hear people trying to defend this country that's doing all of the things that conspiracy people have constantly been complaining about. Putin, he quite literally changed the Constitution so he could remain the president for longer. They allowed it to go through in 2020 so he could be president for 2 more 6-year terms. And it appears they did it by tying it to a ban on same-sex marriage, which is, you know, apparently the ultimate evil. Dictators are okay. Gay people, not so much. For these folks. So again, like, it's got all these authoritarian vibes of all the things we as truthers should call out and point out and say. Because you imagine that. Imagine if Joe Biden was like, you know what? We're getting rid of Fox News, CNN, OAN, or whatever it's called. We're getting rid of all the news, and we're just going to have the White House news. That's what we're going to do from now on. And we're going to, if you're on Twitter or your social media talking about fake news topics, we're going to throw you in prison. If you talk bad about Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, you're going to prison. And also, we're going to change the Constitution so that I can run for another, you know, two terms beyond the two terms that the Constitution allows. Imagine if that happened. The outcry, as it should be, like, to be fair, the outcry that belongs to be there if someone were to try to do that, you know? Because that was always my concern with Trump, was I was with Bill Maher on that. I was like, dude, this guy's got a lot of tendencies that really seem like he'd be the kind of guy that would stretch out the Constitution and you know, try to make it so he could just remain in power forever, like every dictator does. Another idea to float, I told you this is going to be controversial. So if you're getting triggered along the way, I'm very sorry. That's not my intention. Putin. Some claim that he's really secretly into communism. Yes. Again, one of the big ultimate evils. If you go to dystopiandeath.com, it's a blog that has an article called Putin is Bad. Actually, I think that's the name of the link. I think the name of the article changed. Anyways, Dystopian Death tweeted at me on the Twitter because he mentioned my discussion on traditionalism on the blog article, and it's actually pretty good. The article has a lot of interesting quotes and ideas to consider, and they dug in pretty deep, which I liked. And I read the article and I liked it, so be sure to check it out. One of the ideas floated was that because Putin was an actual intelligence agent for the KGB, right, the Soviet Union, he's remained loyal to the communist state. In 2016, a speech he gave, he said, and this quote comes from dystopiandeath.com, "Unlike many functionaries, and I was not one, from the party point of view, I was a rank-and-file member. I did not throw away my party ID. I did not burn it. I quite liked, and still do, the communist and socialist ideas. If we look at the code of the builder of communism, which was broadly circulated in the Soviet Union, it is very much like the Bible. It is not a joke. There is, in fact, a similar passage in the Bible." Now, I've always been critical of communism for the reason that it eventually turns into some kind of authoritarian dictatorship, just like the alt-right movements do, you know? Like, Hitler became a dictator approaching from the right side, and the communists do it from the left side. Another massive red flag, Putin is part of this World Economic Forum thing, right? The Great Reset. Schwab, old Klaus Schwab, Santa Claus, he said that Putin was a young global leader of the civil economic forum within the World Economic Forum. And Russia also joined the World Economic Forum Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is another massive red flag. We talked about the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I did 6 episodes on the Great Reset. I don't remember which one, episode 2 or 3, we talked about we went through Klaus Schwab's book on the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is, of course, tying us into transhumanism. But remember how Russia was trying to win the 5G race? I don't know if you remember this. There was this, they called it the new space race to build a 5G network. But anyhow, Russia was trying to win the 5G race because there's a belief that the Internet of Things, which basically is saying everything is going to be connected to the Internet, which to me, I read as ultimate traceability and trackability. But the Internet of Things and 5G, they are competitive edge technologies for each country. And Russia was pushing misinformation through RT America, their state-sponsored news for strictly for Americans, trying to scare us. Remember that? We examined this. I did two episodes on 5G. And we talked about RT, and we talked about some of the news stories they posted. And they were interesting ideas, right? And the idea was that they wanted, Russia was trying to scare the American public so that we would push back on local 5G infrastructure building, which I support because I'm anti-5G. Is it going to really kill us? I don't know. I don't really dig it, though. But meanwhile, Russia was building their 5G. They were rolling out their 5G network as fast as they could, and they were trying to get Americans to slow down the effort so that they could win this new space race. And that's just one small component of this massive Russian misinformation and trying to get the conspiracy theorist truthers to push Russian agendas. It's a very insidious thing going on. Like, you've heard of Russian bots on Twitter? It's kind of like that. Which, by the way, I saw a TikTok claiming that the activity from Russian troll bots decreased a pretty significant amount once the Russian government banned Russians from posting on social media. Isn't that funny? The Q 10 Days of Darkness turned out it was done by Russia. They made their own 10 Days of Darkness over there. Anyhow, let's stick with the script here, folks. Now, the irony here is that Alexander Dugin and company, who we're going to get into who he is in one second here, but Alexander Dugin and company, they are pretty much anti-technology as well, right? But there's a possibility that could all be for the chaos of conflicting ideologies. Like, when I say they're rolling out 5G quick, maybe they're just trying to cause chaos so they can create order out of chaos, which brings us to the Freemasonic double-headed eagle, which we'll talk about in, I think, part two. The point is, Putin and the Russian government, they do all the things that we as truthers are always concerned about. State-run news, censorship. I mean, talking about cancel culture. This is the ultimate in cancel culture. Banning fake news of whatever the government says should be the news. Making it illegal to talk bad about the leaders. Changing the Constitution to allow one to stay in power longer. And then all the leadership. They've got all these ties to communism and military intelligence, which are always like the big naughty words, right? I mean, it's quite literally all the things the truther movement talks about in one place. And it's very alarming that there's not more people in the truther movement talking more about this, about the dangers here. So let's talk about Alexander Dugin. This is a guy born into Soviet military intelligence, again, communist military intelligence, the thing that, and the intelligence agencies, this is a topic that comes up constantly that has a lot of overlap with the occult. The two seem very much connected. They both use like secret passwords and secret names, and there's, you know, Aleister Crowley was one. You know, it goes on and on and on. There's a Professor Richard Spencer. I'm thinking of Richard Spencer. I've been looking at all this alt-right nonsense. Professor Richard Spence, I think is his name. He did a whole book about this. Anyway, Dugin, like I said, he's considered to be a mystic. He's the Rasputin character. And many describe him as Putin's brain. A guy named James Heiser, author of a book called The American Empire Should Be Destroyed, Alexander Dugin and the Perils of Emanitized Eschatology. That's a mouthful, huh? But I read that book, and we're going to talk about it. But anyway, Dugin allegedly influences Putin to subscribe to this philosophy and this political movement called Eurasianism that he had founded. And if you look up the political parties, Putin's affiliated as an independent. So is this true? I don't know. The idea espoused by this movement is that Western democracy needs to be destroyed so that the great communist Soviet Union can come back into power. Because these guys get real nostalgic about this, apparently, right? About the good old days, because they look at it as, you know, America came in and ruined what they had, and it was a really good thing. They were threatened by the Soviet Union, the great power. And if you think I'm making that up, here's a quote from Putin himself. "The collapse of the Soviet Union was a major geopolitical disaster of the century." So the idea about Dugin, and by extension Putin, if you subscribe to that, they believe that Russia has a mythological ancient destiny to fulfill. And this goes back to a better time when things were great. You know, they're going to make Russia great again. This is the eternal white boy summer we're always talking about here. Because they think that the Western values is American decadence and it's destroying the whole world. And this is the traditionalism that Steve Bannon and Julius Evola and Rene Guénon, they all love this so dearly. And look, again, just my opinion. I'm no expert on geopolitics or Russian history, but there's a lot of weird overlap in the evangelical movement fantasizing about Russia and Putin and the very white dominant culture and the banning of homosexual marriage and all that stuff over there. They think that a real strong dictator can make this Handmaid's Tale fantasy because there's so much decadence in America. You know, they see the Cardi B wet ass pussy and they're like, we can't have that. It's destroying the world, which I get, right? And I would argue, no, we need free speech. Quit it with the cancel culture. Have a conversation with your children. If your children hear the wet-ass pussy, you better have a conversation with them and say, look, kids, some stuff's for adults and some stuff is not. And unfortunately, the 90% of the media owned by six companies wants to blur those lines. Easy conversation to have. Now, Dugin, he's also at odds with Ukraine. He doesn't like the Ukraine. So, and this is to support the idea that he really is, in fact, Putin's brain. Putin and Dugin are in lockstep, I argue, I think. There's many smarter people than me that are pointing this out, too. It's not just me. Ukraine declared him persona non grata for violating a Ukrainian law in 2006. And listen to this. He got caught trying to enter Ukraine and disrupt it from the inside. And then in 2009, he was publicly, after they kicked him out, he publicly advocated that Russia needs to invade Ukraine. And then look what happens, right? Because the fantasy for these folks is to create this Eurasia, this massive continent, this global empire under this traditionalist philosophy, which is a very totalitarian white boy summer Handmaid's Tale with Putin and Dugin and Russia running the whole thing. Now let's look at this Eurasian party a little bit more. Their logo is quite literally the Star of Chaos, the eight-pointed star. The Eight of Wands in tarot. And the logo, of course, the Star of Chaos, you can't talk about that without the classic psyop of order out of chaos, Ordo Ab Chao, right? And this is the symbol for the double-headed eagle, which is a Russian symbol. And this goes way back to the imperial powers of Rome, which is always the fantasy, right? They love the Roman Empire. But the Scottish Rite, they use this symbol too. The eagle represents the phoenix, and it's symbolic of the great work, aka the Great Reset, maybe. I don't know. But it's hearkening to this alchemical, androgynous, perfected form of man that they believe in, this prototype of man. And if you read Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of the Ages, it says one day we're going to get back to this perfected state of man, this androgynous state where, you know, man's got two spines. It's going to be wild. It's going to be a trip. And if you read Albert Mackey's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, he says that Russia adopted this symbol as the two heads represents the double empire back when they took Poland. But Mackey talks about how this all goes back to Russia under the Byzantine Empire for Constantine. But anyhow, Mackey confirms the double-headed eagle is the phoenix, and it is in fact the symbol for the 33rd degree Freemasonry. Now, curiously, in this book by Heiser, what's the name of it again? The American Empire Should Be Destroyed, right? They talk about an arrest in 2014 in Ukraine. Listen to this. This is going to blow your mind. This guy named Oleg Bakhtiarov. Oleg. We'll call him Oleg. That's his first name. He was arrested in Ukraine in 2014. Now, what's curious is this guy, he's a scientist. He's a psychologist, right? And he worked for the Soviet Union because he's Russian. And he was researching the psychology of consciousness amongst other very similar mental things. It sounds very MKUltra, right? And if you recall, that's the roots of MKUltra in America. We had heard that the Russians were trying to invent a truth serum, so we started trying to figure it out on our end, too. That's what they claim MKUltra was all about. Anyhow, March 2014, homeboy gets arrested in Ukraine. For what, you may ask? What's the Soviet psychologist doing in Ukraine? He was quite literally storming the Capitol. He would storm the Capitol building of Ukraine to disrupt the election in 2014. And he recruited 200 people to help him. He was destabilizing the country and trying to disrupt the presidential election. Now, that sounds really familiar to me. I don't know about you guys. That sounds very familiar. A similar strategy, I would argue, could have possibly, maybe, right, happened here. And recall that at the time, President Trump there, he was on the phone with Ukraine. Remember how he picked up the phone and he's trying to get the Hunter Biden laptop? There's a lot of weird connections here, okay? And I didn't dig into them all because politics aren't my thing. There's a lot of strange connections here. So Oleg, he was trying to disrupt the Ukrainian election. And we find out Oleg is actually part of the Eurasian Political Party. Yeah, that's right. Dugin's Eurasian Party. So arguably, Dugin was the mastermind and the architect behind Oleg trying to disrupt the election by storming the Capitol with 200 people. Now I'm going to read to you from that book, from Heiser's book. A few years ago, scholars could shake their heads in disbelief at Dugin's eclectic, even bizarre mix of sources. For example, Wayne Allensworth wrote of Dugin's fascination with the occult, including Satanism, and wrote of the postmodern quality of Dugin's eclectic philosophy, including European geopolitics and strategy, Gnostic mysticism, occultism. Are you listening? I'll repeat that. Gnostic mysticism, occultism, traditionalism, and his advocacy of leftist fascism and rightist communism. As early as 1993, Walter Lecker observed that with Dugin, we move from the realm of a quasi-rational approach to the depths of irrationality. For Dugin, the inventor of conspiratology, world history has to be rewritten. The eternal conflict between Atlantists and Eurasians began in ancient Egypt, and it leads to the struggle between the good, Eurasian, and the bad, Atlanticist. Now, we're going to wrap the show up, this first part up right here, because this takes us into a much deeper topic. But listen to the words they're using here. Dugin's into Satanism, Gnostic mysticism, occultism, and he's the inventor of conspiratology. So what does this tell us? It tells us that the conspiracy truther movement for sure is being watched, if not manipulated and architected by Dugin. And when he talks about Atlanticists, he's talking about basically the American way, the Western values, right? The Western way of living. So the good is Eurasian and the bad is America. And you know, Dugin wrote a whole bunch of books about this stuff. Like, he wanted to bring down the American Empire. That's what the title of the Heiser book is. So there you go. That's part one. And that is basically the alley-oop for part two, which will be the slam dunk. Part two, we're going to get into all the things. We're going to get into the truther to alt-right pipeline. We're going to talk sexy time, sexual mystics, the Black Order of the SS. It's like a death metal band, right? The Black Order of the SS. Destroying liberalism, bringing down the American Empire, traditionalism, and more. All of these occult fantasies are coming true for these folks that are into this stuff. And we're going to talk about it all. And I'm not holding back. We're naming names on part two. Alex Jones? There's connections there. I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to point it out. Do I like Alex Jones? Yes. I'm on the Mount Crushmore with Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a Hall of Famer in the conspiracy world. But as truthers, we have to remain open-minded and consider when we talk about this idea that, and it's not Alex Jones' fault. I mean, we're going to talk about it in part two. I don't want to talk about it right now, but it's not Alex Jones' fault. I think that Dugin is a mastermind manipulator trying to get the truther movement to co-opt his theories of bringing down the American Empire, because there's a lot of mutual interest there in some ways. You know, the truthers want to get rid of the wet-ass pussy, so does Dugin. Except my beef is I don't like where Dugin takes it. You know what I'm saying? He takes it to White Boy Summer, Handmaid's Tale. I'd rather, you know, you want the wet-ass pussy, you can keep the wet-ass pussy, is what I'm saying. All right, anyway. Stay subscribed to the show for part two. It's going to be a banger. We're going to get into all the darkness, the black magic, and the black order of the SS on this whole ordeal. So stay subscribed to the show. It's going to be some heat. And if you want to, in the time being, you can listen to my interview with Professor Ben Teitelbaum about his book, War for Eternity. I'll put the link in the show notes. We talked about this in, I believe it was April 2020, as if there wasn't bigger things going on, right? But yeah, it's almost like I should have three parts to the show, and that should be a third part. So take a listen to that show. And then come back for part two, because we're about to drop the knowledge, baby. All right, thanks for listening. Until next time, stay woke.